Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rich Shields podcast, everybody. We are celebrating our first year anniversary, birthday, you'd almost say, of the podcast. Happy podcast birthday, Guy.
Thanks, Rick. Happy birthday to you as well. When we first started this podcast, we thought, well, I tell you what, I want to ask you, how many episodes do you think we'd do before we got bored?
Well, obviously, we started this time last year. I'd have said if we'd have got to the end of 2019, we were doing well.
Yeah.
And we managed to get to the end of 2019. And then from there, we are up to now, is this 47 episodes or 46?
I think it's 47 today.
So in theory, in all of that time, with everything going on in the world, we've only missed 5 podcasts.
Something like that. Well, yeah, good maths.
Thanks. So to celebrate this epic, momentous occasion, we have brought back our first ever guest.
And possibly our best ever guest.
Our favourite.
100% my favourite.
The listener's favourite. Everyone's favourite.
The housewife's favourite.
Exactly. It's a shame you can't see him because our ratings would go through the roof. Welcome, everybody, to Matt Fryer.
I'm just waiting for someone else to walk through the door when you said favourite then.
Matt, you were the first ever guest.
I remember it back in Shields Media office back in the day. It was
Shields Towers.
Shields Towers, yeah. Dartboard, everything. It was a great time.
Well, we've still got the dartboard. We don't play anymore.
So we were doing well, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's when it was. That's when we were living the high life. We used to get private jets into the office and chauffeur driven. Exactly. Mm. But now we're just stuck in a dark and dingy basement as we're recording a podcast here. But either way, Matt, it's great to have you on. We want to dive in a little bit into your own YouTube because that's blown up since your first ever appearance on the podcast.
Some say it's because he's on the podcast.
I mean, I can't believe these words are nearly coming out of my mouth. You're close to 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Now, of all the people who do YouTube, you're the person I'd never expected to get 200,000 subscribers.
Thanks, mate. Me neither.
Wow.
But the last year, you've grafted, you've worked hard, and you're getting there. What's the projection? When do you plan to get it?
Hopefully by the end of the year. I was thinking next year, maybe February next year. I was the sort of goal, but thinking before Christmas would be nice.
It would. Nice little Christmas present.
I know people listen to this podcast to make a difference. If you watch Matt or know Matt is, or you're not subscribed, go over now and subscribe and help him get that silver plaque.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect Christmas present.
Well, weirdly, we go back quite a while. I don't think we ever said this in the original podcast, because when did you start at Mia? What year was that?
2009.
Yeah. So we've known each other now for 11 years.
Yeah.
Matt came in. Do you even know the story? So I was an assistant at Mia. I was established, full teaching diary, the busy,
the main kid,
fresh-faced Matty Fryer as an assistant pro. I knew nothing about you, bar that you were a good player. I'd heard good things about how good you play. I'd heard about your dad being a golf coach, and I was like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy I think he is coming into my world? And then we clicked, and we were out on the lake, picking up balls. There's the driving range at Mia. It's a big lake, and I actually used it recently in one of the two iron videos that I did. Me and Matt used to regularly pick the golf balls out of that lake.
Yeah, someone would row, someone would pick.
Yeah. Anyway,
in a little boat.
It was our way of just escaping out of the pro shop for a bit.
Well, today's podcast is going to be a bit of a, how am I going to, how's the best way of wording it? A bit of an adventure. So we're going to kind of go on a normal podcast route. We're talking your listener of the weeks, your dear Ricks. Towards the end, we're going to focus on the Masters, which obviously is this week as well. It's our second favourite major. It's a close second to the Open, obviously. But then we're also going to sandwich in a nice little Matt Fryer story, because obviously, again, a lot of people listening will clearly know Matt from either his own channel or from featuring on Rick's channel as well. But I think Matt has got quite a unique story and quite a good story. So if you don't know Matt, by the end of this podcast, Matt will probably be your fifth or sixth favourite golf YouTube channel. That's fair to say, isn't it?
I think we should aim top 10. Let's not get too...
So we've got
top 10 Northwest England YouTube.
So we've got
channel.
Your Rick Shields golf.
I think there's only four in there.
Well, my favourite order would be Rick Shields, then it would be the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast channel, which doesn't get used very much.
Of course.
Then maybe, let's go, Peter Finch.
Have you got a channel?
I'll make one right now. Peter Finch, Golf Mates. Let's throw in a Dan Whittaker. Dan Webster, potentially, could even throw in there.
Why not?
Andy Carter. I know he's Dubai, but let's call him. He's a Northwest lad.
Exactly.
Alex Elliott. We could even bring James Robinson in from the north, kind of Eastymore area, the Yorkshire.
Now we've crossed the line.
Yeah. I'm off, guys. See you in a bit.
Anyway, first things first, though, Rick. I wanted to start off today's podcast with an apology. Because I normally pride myself on being a man of my word.
Okay.
I still feel, I say man, I'm 30 years old, I still feel like a boy, yeah. a boy of my word.
Guy, man of his word.
But last week, I had an email from a guy called James Price, and he said he was doing Movember. So if you're not aware of Movember, because I think it's only a UK thing.
Yeah, I've never seen it in the US.
But Movember is a charity kind of event, for want of a better word, where in the month of November... hence the Movember, men grow a moustache, which I think inspires the conversation about mental health and men kind of opening up and chatting, so which is really good. And James emailed in to say that he was hopes we'd both doing well, and that for Movember, he was going to run a 5K every day this month, which is a good effort, to be fair.
That's decent.
We enjoy a 5K, but I'm talking 2 or 3 a week max. Yeah, so one a day is a graft. And he sent us a link, which I might put on a swipe up on our Instagram page for people to donate. But the reason that I feel bad is I sent an email back to James last week and said, oh, this is really good. I'll be sure to give you a shout on the show. And he said, even if you don't donate or people don't donate, just to get people talking about mental health and chatting and stuff. So I said I would do that. And then last week's episode, I didn't do it. I just completely forgot and it slipped my mind. And then emailed again to say I was a bit disappointed I didn't hear my shout out. So I felt bad. Because I'd rather ignore his email and say I'll do it and then not do it.
And every day he went running out, running that 5K thinking, can't believe Guy didn't shout me out.
That was the motivation to keep going. I'm going to show him. So I just wanted to say, James Price, you're a wonderful thing.
Yeah, good work.
We will share your Movember link on our Instagram. So if you want to go and donate to James and to Movember and to kind of mental health, go on to Instagram and search for @ the Rick Shields Golf Show and swipe up and donate £1 or £2 or
I'll stick a tenner in there.
You're a good man.
Donate that now. Have you ever grown much facial hair?
I get horrendous facial hair. I get it. I can get a mustache and a little rubbish bit of a beard. I'm looking at you. Well, obviously looking at Rick. He's the man with a beard. Matt, you could have a good one, couldn't you? I'm guessing.
I need to because I'm bald. So, it's like an upside down head.
I think there's some science in that.
If you've got no hair on your head, you grow a beard?
Something like that. I'm sure that the hormones that stop you from growing hair on your head are the same hormones that help you have like a hairy chest and a beard.
Ah, right.
I mean, there are people that break that mold, the guys who have dead long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
But in general, people who lose their hair are normally good at growing beards.
I think there is some science in that. There's some kids in my school who could grow beards when they were like 14. And I still can't, so I'm a bit jealous, but then they've gone bald.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at like a Wayne Rooney. Mm. Like, he was way older than he looked. Even when he was 16, he looked like a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of a... Oh, he's had a beard before, hasn't he? Either way. I'm losing my hair. I can grow a beard. You're definitely losing your hair.
Yeah.
You should be able to grow a ridiculously good beard if that science is true. Sorry, Matt.
Gandalf-esque beard.
We've invited you over here, and all I've done at the moment is ripped
you. Destroyed him. Well, actually, I've got a bit of a bones pit with Matt Fryer because a little while ago...
Wow, all he's done today...
Just stand there and take abuse, will you, for half an hour.
He's come along.
Thanks for coming.
We've not even mentioned the best bit as well. He's brought the treats.
He's come along, taking time out of his busy schedule to come and do the podcast. He's brought us monsters, he's brought us sweets and everything, and all we've done for 8.5 minutes is ribbed him.
No, it will get much better. But all I was going to say was, a little while ago, I called out Matt Friday, remember? I said that I wanted to play him and all this stuff. So this morning I got a bit cocky and carried away, and I put a thing on the Instagram again on the story of who would win the match play. I copied Matt's thumbnail and just put my picture over the top, and it looked horrendous, but on purpose, and said, who would win? Be honest. So there's been a vote. There's been well over 1,000 votes. Guy Charnock has had 524 votes. Rick Shields voted for me. Well, in my friend.
Shame.
So I have got a measly 42% of the vote, and young Matthew Fryer, the dashing young man, has come in with 58% of the vote.
That's not what it says on mine.
What?
Mine says 64% you.
How's that worked?
Like, I vote, that's on me voting on your, on the actual Rick Shields Golf Show podcast Instagram.
That's weird.
It's saying 64%.
What does yours say, Matt?
Let's not get into voting's being rigged. Or
demanding counts.
Stop the count. Let's take it from there.
No, let's not even go there, because I accept this one on the Facebook group.
Yeah,
the
mine's 58-42.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But what was quite funny is on Instagram, it shows you who's voted for what. So
yeah.
Leighton Williams, who's one of the golf managers at Formby Hall, we did the YouTube golf day, he voted for you, Matt. So I messaged him, direct messaged him.
Oi, what are you playing at, Leighton? I thought we were mates.
I said, not happy with you, Leighton.
He was like, oh, yeah, it's changed now. It's gone to 58%.
Well, Matt's won. I think, Matt, I do think you genuinely would beat me.
It's not really a think, is it?
Well, anyway, but it was a bit of banter.
Everyone that's voted for Matt's going to get blocked by a guy.
Yeah. Sorry, you can't listen to the podcast anymore.
That's funny.
Okay, one thing I wanted to clear up as well before we get in. I feel this is a little build-up. So if you're wondering why today's podcast feels a bit different, it's going to be possibly a longie today. And you'll know by looking at the length of it. We don't know because we're just starting off. It could be an hour, could be an hour and a half, could be 55 minutes, could be 47, I don't know.
Just could be 4 days.
Have you guys ever played with each other?
No.
I think we may have played a few holes at Grange Park.
No, I don't think we did. Because I've only played those. No. Well, I was a member there. I played with Rick. We'll sort a game out next year.
So time-wise, who knows?
We don't know how it's going to be. So this is like a bit of a build-up to get into the juicy stuff. And we are going to talk about golf, obviously. But one thing I wanted to just cover, why Matt's just playing with the microphone, is that we discussed last week the new Hall of Fame we're going to have.
Yes.
For listeners who we feel are Hall of Famers. Yeah. Simple as that. So the first one's Darek.
Darek, obviously. Darek Chen.
He is 100% a Hall of Famer. And then we've had a few emails in of people kind of saying, oh, can I be one? Or I've done this, that, the other. Now, we massively appreciate support. Obviously, everyone that listens, everyone that emails, we appreciate it. But that's not how you become a Hall of Famer. You have to go above and beyond to become a Hall of Famer, don't you?
The bar has been set Derek.
It's been set almost possibly too high. But we had an email, Rick, off George Baker. Now, the name might ring a bell, might not. George Baker was the guy that we met at Marriott.
Oh,
got
a
picture with you. And he sent an email saying, hi, Guy and Rick. So that was a good start. Good start. You know, you're doing well.
He stalked you.
And Matt.
He said, can I be considered for a place in the Hall of Fame for driving 6 hours from Eastbourne to Manchester to play at the same course as Rick? And I came and played the day after I got engaged. Now, to be fair, George, you were a really nice lad. And I see you very active in the Facebook group and the podcast group, etc. But we know it's not strictly true. He came just to play that course because he came because his fiance's girlfriend lives up north.
Correct.
And then he tied. So we still tied in the game of golf at the Marriott, to be fair to him, because you play there.
Didn't she live in Preston or something?
Lived in Preston. So you're on the right lines, George. You've definitely got potential for a Hall of Famer, but it just needs that little bit more X factor, I would say.
Exactly. We need someone to like swim the channel.
Yeah.
Let's not maybe encourage that. okay, yeah, no, he doesn't get it, but nice try. Like I say,
you're on the right lines.
Who knows?
It's not listener of the week and Hall of Fame is two separate things. So listener of the week, we've got a really good listener of the week, which I'll come on to a bit later on. As I said, we've got a really good Dear Rick, we've got a decent Nightmare Golf shot, but first things first, let's talk your friend of mine, Matthew Fryer,
full Sunday name.
So Matt, people listening, as we said before, will know you from your own YouTube channel. They'll know you from being a coach at Trafford Golf Centre. And they will also know you from, obviously, some of the videos on Rick's channel. But in a sentence or two, who is Matt Fryer?
Golf coach, YouTube video. Golf coach, man. Just golf enthusiast, I would say.
YouTube creator.
Yeah.
Keep going. You got to sell yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Is that it, Matt? Is that all you
got? No. So I love the game of golf. Just want to help as many people as I can get better at the game and bring more people into it. And for the experiences I've had in the game myself and everything that it's given to me, if everyone else can, you know, benefit from that and get more people into it, brilliant. And that's what I think the aim of the channel is. And with the coaching as well, it doesn't necessarily be that you have to be the best golfer in the world, but if you can just enjoy the game and, you know, get some good friendships out of it, good experiences, that's what, you know, I aim to do and everything.
I would know you as somebody that's really grown up in golf. Would that be fair? Like, from when you must have been very, very small when you got into golf.
No, 16 when I got into golf.
How did that happen with you, like your dad being so passionate about it and stuff?
I think, and this is like one of the things...
Or was that you rebelling?
No, and all credit to my dad, really. One of the things that I hate to see is when you get like the pushy parent where, you know, young Tom's been dragged down to the range at 6 years old. They hate golf, they're kicking and screaming, but mummy and daddy see it as a cash cow for them if he gets good, like the Tiger era.
Well, let's just set the scene, though. You're saying about your dad. People might not know who your dad is, so let's just explain to the audience, listen, who your dad is.
Yeah, so my dad's a golf coach as well, very sort of popular, probably for, you know, the majority over until last sort of, well, even now still, he's probably one of the busiest golf coaches in the north of England, maybe in England. He's been in Today's Golfer for 20 years now.
Wow. I think that's it is 20 years. Like I knew front cover. So Today's Golfer, if you're listening from the US, big golf publication over here. There's Today's Golfer, Golf Monthly, a bit of Golf Digest we get, but Today's Golfer. Yeah.
He did Golf Digest actually as a start.
Did he?
Yeah.
So I remember him being on the front cover for years, you know, doing that. And then, when you started at MIA, almost the Fryer name came before you almost. It was almost like, and obviously everyone kind of weirdly knew your dad from that area, but it was like you were coming in as a new gun. I would describe you as almost somebody who's very passionate about golf, very skillful at golf. I joke and kind of wind you up that you're not, but you are very skillful. You got an unbelievable golf swing, like tempo-wise and short game-wise, like unbelievable. And from what I've seen, you're a really good coach. What you've started to do on your YouTube channel now reflects that a bit more. Did you ever feel like you were a natural on camera at first, or have you had to work on that?
Oh, no, definitely not. You become more and more comfortable. I think I've always liked joking around and kidding around and have sort of liked the spotlight, as it were. But, no, it's something definitely that you have to work at. And I think that, you know, like for yourself as well and anyone who's out there, we're not acting trained, we're not camera trained or anything like that. You just evolve over your own videos.
You say that, I got an A in drama, so I was kind of primed for this job.
All makes sense now.
One thing that I wanted to touch on as well, and I know we joked then and wind you up, but this, I genuinely mean this as a compliment, but you've been doing, I did some looking at your channel, which I do keep an eye on anyway, but you've been on YouTube for 6 years now. I'm sure you know these numbers, but I'll relay them back to you anyway. You've had over 9 million views.
Yeah.
You've got, I think, 95,000 subscribers now. So fast approaching that 100,000, which I think is a milestone. If I'm ever looking on YouTube for something, whether it be how to clean my trainers or, I don't know, that was a random thing, I looked at my shoes, but anything.
Buy new ones.
Yeah. If a channel's got 100K, you're thinking, okay, this is a genuine, proper channel.
They've worked for this.
Yeah, exactly. Your best video was at 666,000 views, which is good. And you've uploaded over 576 videos. You've been in it for a long time.
Yeah, I think, and you know, you guys and Rick and Pete and stuff, obviously seeing like how Rick and Pete evolved, Rick more so, were quite a huge inspiration. And the first three, like, I don't see, like, obviously I say there, it's been going for 6 years. I only really see my channel going for 3 years, because for 3 years I was just... I didn't know what it was for, really, because I did it because Rick did it and Pete did it.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I think, because obviously I've known you for a long time as well, not as long as Rick has, but I've probably known you about 6 years, I'd say, from Trafford days. I do feel, or thought, should I say, at the first couple of years, you were doing it because Rick and Pete did it, and it was just a way of getting a few followers, and you kind of just chugged along, and you kind of swapped what you were doing a bit, and you tried different things. I would say, like you said, then in the last 2 to 3 years...
So ever since I went to Trafford.
Yeah. Because you were kind of moving clubs, it felt like, quite a lot, and at different locations, and some stuff was coaching. You did a few reviews. You did like your Midweek Matters, which was essentially a podcast, but in front of camera, where you kind of... And you tried different things, and I felt you didn't stick at much for long. And the last couple of years, you've really kind of... I think your channel's neat, if that's the right word. Your thumbnails are good, your titles are good, your delivery's really good. And actually, I know this might sound like a compliment, would be my brother stumbled across your channel the other week or the other month and doesn't know who you are. So, do you know Matt Fryer? He's quite good at that. And to be fair, my brother, not that my brother's some YouTube critic, but he calls a spade a spade. Yeah. Like, if he sees a channel that's rubbish or whatever, he'll say, I don't like that, or whatever. Or if we do a video that's not the best, he'll say, or if it is good, he'll say. So it's quite a good praise, really. Yeah. And he came across you and thought you were really good on camera.
Yeah.
So you've definitely upped it last few years.
Yeah, 100%. Like I say, it was with those guys and Rick saying, you know, like, you've moved to Trafford now. How are you going to distinguish yourself from all the other coaches? And that was a huge sort of kickstart to the channel, really. Like you say, it was probably for those 3 years. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. Mm. You know, was I going to be a player? Was I going to be a coach? Was, you know, going to do anything in YouTube or whatever it was? And had no real idea. So I was just sort of lost and no real direction to where I was going as well. Got the opportunity to go to Trafford when Carter left. Was a, you know, a real roll of the dice, really. Was very sort of wary of doing it and worried if it would work out and things like that. But then got busy quickly and then had a direction for the YouTuber, you know, in the sense that that was my business card, that people could see how I taught, what I taught, knew where I was, and that the main aim was just to get people in the bay with the channel. And now it's, you know, growing into something.
And
then you
got busy off the back of that, would you say? You've got more clients. 100%,
yeah. Like, coming out of lockdown, it was like a 2 month waiting list to get a lesson with me, and wow. I don't take any clients from the range anymore. I only take people that come directly to me from the YouTube videos or recommendations from friends. I don't really take walk-ins or anything like that, as where all the other coaches do that. And, you know, that's all from the back of growing my, you know, growing the channel, growing Instagram and stuff like that, just as this is what I offer, this is who I am.
I think Trafford lends itself to doing exactly what we've done, weirdly. Like,
yes.
What I've done, what Pete's done, what you've done, Carter to a degree. Like, it's that, you mentioned it perfectly there, it is your business card. Like,
yeah.
I remember thinking to myself, well, I was one of four coaches when I first started.
Lucky boy.
How many is there now?
9.
So when I was one of four started, my idea was, well, if the other three guys are coaching everyone in Manchester, pretty much that's what they were doing, and I was starting doing it. Well, there's many more people outside of Manchester, so starting up a YouTube channel attracted people from much, much further afield.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, actually now my catchment area is way bigger.
The world.
Because Trafford is so easy to get to.
Oh, yeah. Like, even for the airport, I have people flying for lessons.
Exactly.
Like, guy detour from Australia. It was on the way to Germany.
What,
or something. Yeah, I just thought, you know, I'm jumping out here. I'm going for a lesson with Fryer.
Watch the video and went,
yeah,
that'll do.
Yeah,
I think you're doing a good job. I think it's, like I say, it's a lot cleaner.
Mm.
Like, is there any... Was it like a business decision as well to move more into kind of YouTube, seeing the potential financial benefits?
I wouldn't say necessarily, no. I think it was, you know, just sort of like you're the blueprint, really, for what's like golfing YouTube, as it were, and you see what can be done, what can be achieved. I think I still always want to keep my coaching going, whether it's to a degree, not to the degree of where I'm working 50 hours a week coaching and coaching till 10 o'clock at night. But once you see what comes with YouTube. Now, I was literally out on a walk with the missus this morning, and it was like, well, what am I going to do when I come back from lockdown? Is it going to be more YouTube, excuse me, or will it be more coaching, or how do you go from there? So it does, I think you get to a crossroads in the journey and you have to make a decision. I've definitely scaled back a bit of the coaching recently to try and compensate for more YouTube, because I do want to grow the channel. Like, again, not blowing smoke up your but when you see what's possible, and you know, you want to make, obviously, like fan of YouTube videos anyway. Any, like, looking at like a Casey Neistat, people are, you want to make a video that people go, oh my god, that's amazing, and then obviously still help them out with the golf swings and stuff at the same time.
I think what's key for me, and again, I don't want to speak like I'm some YouTube golf expert, but what I've Wizard. Seen,
you are pretty good though, guys. Yeah. You do know pretty much everything. Yeah.
The issue you've not done this, but the issue I've seen some kind of people do when they come in, when they start doing quite, I'll try and phrase this the best way I can, when some golf coaches or creators start to see some level of success, let's say 100,000 subs, 200,000 subs, whatever, where it is a business and it's probably bringing in more revenue than the coaching is.
Yeah.
Sometimes what happens is it kind of becomes a little bit about like them And because obviously for you now, yes, it's a business and it obviously has a benefit financially, but your goal really, or should be, or it is, as I know it is to help people get better at golf.
Yeah.
Like, if you then get an apparel sponsor or anything, that's great for you, and it's also really good because it might make you a little bit more secure in a sense of you can produce more content. You might be able to have a day off coaching because you've got some revenue coming in from elsewhere. But sometimes the issue you then find is some of these creators become very much like, almost like a billboard where they become sponsored by loads of brands, and it almost becomes like, look at me, look what I've achieved, quite braggy, rather than just still being authentic. Well, the best person in the golf space, like more coaching area, would be like Danny Maud. For me, because he's like a golf coach, he's got, what's he on, like 500,000 subs now or something like that.
Great guy, Danny. I was on the phone to him this morning.
In terms of like just the purely, because obviously for like, for Rick and for Pete, it's a little bit different because your content has got to a point where it is about you as a personality in a way. But someone like a Danny Maud, he's a golf coach, just produces golf coaching videos. He's doesn't feel like, look at me, like look what I've achieved. It's still helping you get better at golf.
Yeah, 100, you know,
421,000.
So he's killing it, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he's class. Yeah, definitely. I don't want to be going down that route, you know, just like, oh, look, you know, look what I... And I'm generally not a chauvinistic person anyway. I'm quite happy with, like, a cheap pint and a packet of crisps. That'll do me.
Nice.
Yeah, so anything that I can give back to the viewer in terms of helping them get better and enjoy, you know, enjoying golf more, even, like, I think, you know, one of the areas of golf itself that isn't explored as much is... like the friendships you get from it and how much you can take away from the game. I've got, I think, two friends from school now, and everyone else I know in my life is from golf. So if there's like an advert for getting in golf, it's like the great times you can have on holidays and different bits. And if it's a way of exposing that, it doesn't necessarily have to be a swing lesson. But if it's getting people to, you know, play the game and enjoy those experiences as well, that's something that I want to try and do also.
So one thing I do want to cover, we've not really got onto, we've touched on your dad a little bit, but is the story of how you kind of got into golf and how having a PGA pro and a good coach, the dad, helped you. But before we get on to that, Rick, I want to ask Matt a question, see what his answer is.
Who's better, me or you? Me.
A proper question. What is your second favourite golf podcast?
Oh, I'd have to say it's probably The Open.
Well, very good question. Good answer, should I say.
On brand. So guys, next week's Open podcast is another cracker.
Well, it's this week. Chris, it's out just after this.
Of course, featuring Chris Wood. I'm really excited about listening to that. I've just listened to the 2007 Open Championship from Carnoustie that Padraig Harrington won, the story behind that. A really good one. But without further ado, listen to this little clip of this week's Open podcast.
A quick glance at the leaderboard would represent an astonishing sight.
Yeah, there it is. Incredible. Chris Wood from England and Tom Watson, two under, tied for the lead.
A man bidding to become the youngest winner of the Open since 1893, tied with a man bidding to become the oldest.
We've been talking all week about the value of experience. Well, this boy's 21 and he was fifth last year. He's looking like he could go four better. Maybe we're overrating experience.
I remember he did the same thing last year at Brookdale in the final round. I believe it was the 10th hole, 11th hole, where ran into a little mistake, but it was a pretty impressive back-to-back open.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely amazing.
And sitting with some of the American players, and they said from afar, Davis Love actually just said this, he just finished a round of 69. Said he almost looks like, at times, you catch a little glimpse of Chris Wood, he looks like Tom Watson from back in 1977 at Turnberry. Shaggy haired and all.
So, Rick, I want you to give me four platforms I can listen to the Open podcasts on.
Oh, okay. Apple.
Tick.
Spotify.
Tick.
I'm going to go Stitcher.
Yes.
And I'm going to go...
somewhere where you buy products from online and you enjoy doing it.
Amazon. In fact, Amazon are killing it right now, aren't they? Just in general life. I bet Bezos
was like, yes, another lockdown. Get in there.
Either way, yeah. So four platforms. There are just a few that you can listen to. There's 10 documentaries coming your way. I think this is now the fourth one.
Yes. Is it fourth or fifth? Yeah, is it fourth?
Four.
Either way, Every one of them has been unbelievable so far. Oh yeah, Chris Wood will be the fifth one.
Yeah, with the fifth one.
Go and check it out. Go and listen to it and support our second favourite podcast. And again, thanks for the Open Podcast for sponsoring the episode.
So I go on to Apple Podcasts, right? I search the Open Podcasts. What do I click next?
Play.
But what's more important? Well, not more important. What's equally as important
as subscribe.
And then what do?
Play. Leave a review.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I've got I've got five star options. Do I go for a three or do I go four or do I go five? Well,
really, let's be honest, you've got one option.
Which is?
Five stars.
Yeah. And then when I leave my review, what do I say? I don't know. I've never done this before.
Rick Guy and Matt sent me.
Yeah, and Matt sent me.
The big sway.
Yeah, it's going to be another good one as well. It's weird at the moment because, as Matt just mentioned a second ago, it's locked down here in England currently right now, which is such a weird one. It's till the 2nd of December, so all golf courses are closed. I think it's really, I don't think they should be closed in England. You know, if you're looking at opening different countries, I just think golf's so out in the open. You don't have to get too close to anyone. You look at down most high streets, even though shops are closed at the moment, supermarkets, it's busy.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like last time. Doesn't feel like March.
Last time was proper just lockdown,
weird,
wasn't it?
Yeah, as well. It just seems a bit like, you could do what you want, do a bit of this.
Just to add, we are all sat socially distanced between each other. There's a good 2 meters between me and Matt.
And we are working from home, so we have to do this from home. But yeah, crazy, crazy times. And then also what really feels like a crazy time, it's bloody Masters Week.
It is Masters Week.
Like, how has that come about?
Good in a way because it gives us something to look forward to, doesn't it? Now imagine like lockdown 2 without the Masters. I woke up this morning, straight downstairs, Masters replay, bang on.
I must admit, I am looking forward to 4 nights of just solid action.
Who's going to win the Masters? I want one word from each one person from each of us.
Dustin.
Oh. Yeah, it's a good shout.
I'm going to go Tyrrell.
Tyrrell Hatton.
I must admit, I had a little look at Tyrrell Hatton yesterday. The only thing that put me off, I don't think his form's been amazing in the Masters, but his form at the moment, and I think someone like a Tyrrell could benefit from the lack of crowds.
I do.
Because imagine walking down 15, 16, whatever it might be, on the Sunday, leading the Masters, knowing that you've got one arm in the green jacket.
Exactly.
The lack of crowd, I think, could potentially help a non-major winner.
My head says Tyrrell. My heart says, Tiger. My second heart says Tommy.
My third heart.
I'm going for the three T's.
Is it cows that have got a couple of
hearts? Stomach's not hearts.
I'm going with Tyrrell, Tommy and Tiger.
Okay. It's funny how no one said Bryson there.
Well, I'm going to throw in Tony.
Oh.
Rip and Magoo, Tony Finau.
That's what I'd like to see Tony Finau.
That would be class.
Tony Finau win. I think, and this is not really that bold of a shout, I think Bryson's either going to destroy or get destroyed.
Yeah, I can't.
I think the media have made it out as if it's just like done for him. Yeah, like, firstly they make out that he hits it 400 yards plus every time, which he doesn't.
He does not hit it 400 yards. Yeah.
And it's Augusta. He's got to hit every shot perfect, like leave a wedge just out there, then put in. It's Augusta, isn't it? We don't know how it's going to play.
However, I am unbelievably excited to see him play it.
He's now become my arguably favourite golfer to watch, even above Tiger.
I honestly can't wait to watch him play.
It's very interesting, definitely, what he's done.
I can't wait to see what he does technology wise, whether he uses a 48 inch driver. Talking about 48 inch driver, you'd have seen the video last night. They're not easy to control.
You said last night.
I've hit a long drive club. Didn't work out that well for me.
I fatted a shot. I fatted 2 yards behind the ball. I hit the ground. If he does play 48 inch, all credit to him. Because I actually think it's ridiculously harder.
Do you like boxing, Matt?
Yes.
Do you know who I would say Bryson DeChambeau reminds me of?
Go on then.
Deontay Wilder.
Throw it all out there.
Exactly. If it pays off,
brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the way. Deontay Wilder, Rick, absolutely just is like 6'7" or something. His punch is probably the hardest punch in the world. But he's not the most technically gifted boxer. That's why obviously they drew the first time, but Tyson Fury beat him the first time and beat him the second time in reality because he just outboxed him. that is what I can see Bryson being like. When he's on, it could be unreal. But yeah. If he's off...
The only thing with Bryson, yes, he drives it ridiculous. He is also unbelievable at every other aspect.
Yeah, is he seventh in stroke gains on putting now?
The only thing he's not good at, stats-wise, at putting at Masters, he's terrible.
Is he?
Because they don't have a green...
Oh, they don't. I was going to say, they don't have no green reading books, do they?
So stat-wise, he's actually a massive disadvantage at the Masters.
It brings in the feel, doesn't it, Augusta? Yes. You know, when you obviously I've never been there, you have, but when you see it on TV, like the sort of bomb and gouge isn't a play that I can see working around there. It's very much shape it around the corner and hit it into this spot of the green to have a better putt and just smash drive or wedge it on, try and knock it in. Doesn't really seem
envisioning him leading for two rounds, having a terrible Saturday and finishing top 10.
Really?
Yeah. I can't see him. Yeah, I just don't. I can't. I don't know why.
I just think we've made it out that it's...
Or he could shoot 25 under and who knows. Have you seen the course?
I've seen some images, yeah.
Oh my God. I haven't seen anything yet. It looks like April.
It's not a real place though, is it? It's like a film set when you look at it. They've got the tree farm next door, all the plants are shipped in, the water's dyed, the fairways are sprayed, so it's not like we're going to walk around to Lee and it would be like that now, is it?
Well, Poulter has been sharing some Instagram stories. Honestly, it looks ridiculous.
I saw a video the other day of it not in season with a drone, like an illegal drone over it, and it looked absolutely hideous.
Oh, yeah.
The All Earth picture things on Instagram.
Like, what did they do? They dig the whole place up?
No, it shuts, doesn't it, normally, October to March, is it?
I'd imagine so.
October to March. The fairways are spray painted with dye.
Yeah, and they overseed
and stuff like that. So it's just left and then... So it's going to look awful, and the ground out there goes that sort of weird soupy sort of brown colour, doesn't it, as it's going through?
Yeah, it's a really, really weird one. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be another amazing major tournament, and I honestly cannot wait to watch it. In fact, you're sat on my Masters chair today, Matt.
I know.
I don't think anybody's ever sat on that chair. I bought it with the whole intention of putting it somewhere when I was there. And for about another week after, I carried it around with me everywhere. I was scared to leave it. I had to carry it through the airport. I went to Chicago, New York, Bermuda. That chair's been in Bermuda. And all the way back home. And literally never been opened until now. Is it comfy?
Oh, it's the dream.
It doesn't look comfy.
It doesn't look comfy at all, really.
It looks like a kid's chair.
Speaking of kids, we have got an amazing, amazing... Amazing. That was 3. I don't know why I do that sometimes. I don't know what I hate.
You're just trying to pad it out, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know
why. Trying to get the podcast to an hour.
I've got a good listener of the week. Are you ready for this, Rick?
He's gone.
I'm just laughing how you've just gone amazing, amazing, amazing. And gone, why don't I? Mean, I've got a good. It's like.
Well, this is going to be our youngest listener of the week ever, and possibly the youngest listener of the week we'll ever, 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 ever have. I don't know what's wrong with me. Don't you really try and emphasize a point? This
Finchy
listener of the week.
Finchy repeats himself.
Well, this listener of the week.
At least you're not going all Clarkson on us yet.
He's 4 years old.
Okay.
Okay, I've got an email from his dad, obviously. So his dad's called Jamie Gallagher, and there's something in this that I love.
Hold on. Gallagher?
Yeah.
Is that not the footballer? Jamie Gallagher.
Jamie Gallagher.
Yeah. And what have you just said?
Jamie Gallagher.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking more Liam or Noel, but...
Yeah. So, I've been told by my four-year-old to email you or send you a message for a long time now. We are both keen followers of yourselves and follow you on every social media platform, your Facebook, your Instagrams, YouTube, etc. Now, he's not print screen them, but I'll let him off. Following Rick himself, his podcast show, and the Rick Shield Golf Show on YouTube. So, he follows everything. Anyway, getting on with it now, getting out of the way of the formals, and let me tell you the story. So I've been playing golf for just over a year, and I currently play at 22. I originally started playing golf like most men do to get away from my wife and kids and do something for myself.
Loving.
Fair enough. That was shortly outlived once my son picked up a club and got the bug like everyone else that's gripped a club before him. He's now 4 years old and has lessons at my local club. We often go to the range together and play the occasional 9 holes when the weather allows for it and there's gaps in the tee times. Now, this is where it gets good. He won't shut up about golf, either playing or watching Rick Shields on YouTube. He watched that video with Leo, the young golfer, and all he wanted to do was message you and show how much he's better than Leo. After months of asking if you've received his videos and messages, I had eventually had to buy him a glove off Amazon and send it to him as a gift from you and say that it came from you. So basically, even though I don't think he's ever actually messaged us before, it's not like we've missed his messages. I don't think he's actually ever messaged us before because I had to look through. But basically, someone's asking him all the time to message you. So he did, he got a glove and he's actually sent a picture of his, look how chuffed he is with this little glove.
Oh, that's
he's absolutely
awesome.
Made up.
And he thinks brilliant. It's from me.
It's like Santa Claus.
There's something above it. And it says, to Henry the Kid Golfer, seen your video of you playing and loved it. Hope you enjoy the glove, mate, Rick Shields. This is what his dad did.
Oh my God, that's classic. This is a good story.
So, he's also then attached a couple of videos. We had to add the videos on Instagram because he couldn't send them his email. Basically, he says, I hope this reaches you and give him a mention on the podcast. Would make his life. Hope to hear it on Tuesday and we'll listen together on the way to school. Kind regards, Jamie and Henry. Now, I then looked on Instagram because I thought, this is a really good story. I want to find the messages. So I went on to at the Rick Shields Golf Show and I looked at our messages and there they were from Jamie. Now, my only concern was, if young Henry listened to this, will he then know, obviously, the glove didn't really come from Rick Shields?
Oh, yeah.
And his dad said, oh, that's fine, it doesn't really matter. So,
all right.
If what I want to show you, Rick, is this little cool video of him. You ready? Yeah. I might try and put the audio near the mic as well.
Wow.
Not a bad hit, that.
Got a good little swing. He's got a good little swing. And then the second video is a... You can't really see this, obviously, on the podcast, but he's hitting a 3-wood or a driver off the deck on like a long hole down the hill, puts it to about 15 foot.
Oh,
so, Henry Gallagher, you are listener of the week, and what do you want to say, Rick?
Well, first off, you're welcome for the glove. And also, to make up for not being able to see you swing, I'm going to send you something else. Let's send you some balls.
No, that's very nice.
We'll send him a little, try and get him a little Nike cap. I'll sign one as well for him. So that's awesome. Thanks so much. And what did you say before he hit that first shot? This is for Rick Shields or
something like that.
He's calling you out, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I'll beat you, Rick Shields. Love that. Henry, thank you so much. And Jamie, thanks for being such a top dad. Keep him up. Keep him enjoying golf. Yeah. He seems like he's got a good zest for it at the moment. And that's something you never, ever want to lose with the kids. So that's class. So if you can get him his address, we'll send him something.
Yeah, I'll get that. Now, this week's Dear Rick is going to be not a controversial one, Matt. Rick already knows what it is. I forward it to him to get a little bit of his brain ticking over the weekend to how he's going to answer this one. So I also want you to answer it as well, Matt. But okay. I'm going to read it out. It's anonymous, which Dear Rick typically always is. And it says, Dear Rick, when does it become weird to follow female golfers on YouTube and Instagram? And am I allowed? I'm a man and firmly in the middle age of my life. I enjoy golf and watching golf content online. However, recently I found myself being self-conscious about who I watch and follow. In short, is it okay to follow and watch content from producers like Bella Angel and Paige Sporanek? Please help so I can watch good golf content. And if my children look at me weird, I can tell them it's okay because Dr. Rick said so. From Anonymous. Now, the reason is a weird one, and it was one of those ones at first thought this is a bit weird, but actually it's not, because when you look at some of these creators online,
yeah,
it's obvious that they're trying to target a male demographic. Okay, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And some of the outfits they wear naturally are going to cause a stir, both positive and negative. So when I looked through some of the photos from a couple of those accounts that were mentioned, and I showed them to Abby, for example, my fiance, she could understand why somebody's partner or whatever may look over their shoulder at the phone and be like, who's that? Not enough. No, not maybe not like, it's not you cheating, is it? But like,
who is she?
Who's that? Now, looking through like Paige's Instagram, for example, and obviously she's killed it in the world of online, like,
normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Golf, hasn't she? She's got 3 million followers on Instagram. Wow. I think she's got like a million and something or more on Facebook. Loads on Twitter. She's got a really good podcast. She's got a big YouTube channel. So she's killing it. And I actually have heard podcasts of her before. And she actually is really switched on.
Mm.
But I can understand, like, probably 50% of her pictures don't contain a golf club in them. And some are, well, she might be like a bikini holding the golf club, so it's not really golfy.
I think we're missing a trick, Rick.
So I know this is Dear Rick, I'm waiting for Rick's answer, but I understand basically...
I'm waiting for Bat's answer.
Yeah. I can understand why... I mean, it's different. If you're 25 years old and you're a single lad, then I can't even think about it. But I can genuinely understand why guys in his 50s... who, if he's got kids who are 18, especially daughters or something, might look at him and go, what
are you doing? So, I think it's what are you following them for, isn't it?
Mm.
If you're using your Instagram or whatever to get better at golf, are they going to help you get better at golf? And then it's like, well, no.
Yeah,
I don't know. So, I wouldn't say straight out. I do think there is some really good coaching out there. I think Paige, advice that she gives, she should play at a high level.
Yeah,
the actual advice that she gives on her Instagram or YouTube is solid advice. And she wears what she wants, and I respect that. And she's quite comfortable. She's incredibly confident with it. And again, I respect that. There's nothing wrong with that. I understand from Mr. Anonymous why he doesn't want to get caught by his wife or his kids looking at that account. I kind of get it, because there are pictures on there that you might not want your partner to be looking at. I've got some advice for that in a minute as well. A friend of mine taught me a little trick. I'll call him Nick Meals. Okay.
Nick Meals.
A little friend of ours.
All right.
He plays a little game.
That took me a while to think. I can't stupid.
It's not me. This is a game, though. So if you're on your Instagram and you're not sure about that, so you might follow a lot of accounts.
All right.
And the game you play,
pull it down.
You just play. That's safe.
Russian roulette. Yeah. So Rick's scrolling down his Instagram feed now.
That's a safe bet. And then you just scroll far enough down just to see the next name.
Yeah.
So you know, that's safe. I can go that. I can go with confidence to that one.
Yeah.
And you go to the next one. I'm safe. You go, I'm safe.
I'm going
to
start posting pictures of girls. So Rick will go, Guy Charnock, that's safe. And then it'll be like, not.
See, the ones that catch you out sometimes, they're the ones that could be safe, but sometimes throw in a little curveball.
Or what you could do is what I do, if Abby's listening, which sometimes she's, I just follow people that are genuinely okay to follow. I would never dream of following someone that I wouldn't want her to see.
Yeah. I'll give that advice to Nick Meals. But Nick, I think Nick does it for work purposes.
Right, okay.
So
what... So
it's a strange... I think you've got to... there's no right or wrong answer, really, is
make
there?
Make a burner account that your wife doesn't know exists and follow them all in. Yeah. That's also what Nick Meals does.
Yeah.
Nick has many burner accounts. No, like I say, I think it's what you want to get out of it. I think there is poison online. I always like that word that you used, Guy. I think when Guy first started kind of working with me. I used to follow Nick or Nick.
Your cover's rumbled there.
Nick used to follow far too much poison, and it's been cleared out now. So it's only the odd one, the golf ones.
The only thing, and this is again not the only thing that kind of not worries me, but I think about sometimes with like the way that Instagram's gone. For I feel like I have to be careful saying this, but I don't mean anything in a bad way. In fact, some of the female golfers is that you could actually be like a really good up-and-coming PGA pro at a golf club. You could be assistant pro. You could be 20 years old. You could be obviously a female. You could be a scratch handicapper or whatever. You might have turned pro. It feels like it might be hard to gain followers unless you portray yourself in a certain way. I know it sounds a bit deep and a bit like not what people might want to hear, but like it is getting a bit harsh because like what you're offering could be really actually good tips. But unless you want to dress in a certain way or act like a certain thing. But equally, on the other side of the coin, you said if Paige wants to dress like that and wants to be like that, that's absolutely fine as well.
Yeah.
No, so it's a strange one, isn't it, really? It is weird.
I think as long as you feel confident in what you're doing, i.e. you're not doing something against your own will, via creating content, and you're comfortable with doing that, like Paige spoke about it a number of times, being more confident dressing the way she does, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as then there's a level of adding value back to the viewer, to the follower. So whether that's adding value from the way what you talk about, what you post, what tips or advice you give, what insightful, you know, bits of information. It might just be the quality of your pictures that people want to follow. As long as you're adding value back, I think that's fair. But if anyone is listening who thinks about growing social media, just be authentic to yourself. If that's you, then do that. If it's not you, then don't do that because it'll come across as fake and you don't really want to be that. To Mr. Anonymous.
Yeah. Got to figure it out yourself, buddy.
Play the Russian roulette.
It's weird how Matt's not spoke. He's just scrolling through Instagram with his dribbling. So we've also had in another feature, because the other day, I put a thing on the Facebook groups. If you're not following that, it's the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast on Facebook. It's a group where we've got, I think, 42,000 members now. And we said about how was it our one-year anniversary and what features do people enjoy. And Dear Rick was possibly the most popular answer. People really enjoy that, Rick. So as ever, your wisdom is... people are grateful for your wisdom.
Yeah,
another feature that didn't get too much of a mention, and it's one that we've not done as much, but Nightmare Golf Shots or Nightmare Golf Stories. It's NGS, so it's however you want to... I sometimes call it Nightmare Golf Shots. Sometimes I call it Stories. Depends on how you're feeling. But I've got one today... Now, I do say this a lot. It isn't the best ever, but there's about it that I do like.
Go on.
So let me read it to you. So this guy's staying anonymous, which I'm quite glad for. He's got quite a hard to pronounce name, but he wanted to stay anonymous. That's really a win-win. Just put, hi, Rick and Guy. So I wasn't a big fan. It should be Hi, Guy and Rick, but that's fine. We can deal with that. I've been a long-time YouTube subscriber, and I've also recently started listening to the podcast. Loving it, by the way. You also got me onto the Open Podcast. Great find. So we talk about this a lot. Box tickers, don't we? He's ticked quite a few boxes there, hasn't he?
Yeah. How do people honestly get onto the podcast?
Recommended by the friends.
Yeah, recommended by a friend.
They go like...
Or so recommendations on Apple and stuff.
Or if you're Derek, putting a golf ball in a hole.
What most sane people do is they'll go... John, they go, hiya mate, they go, you like good content, don't you? And he goes, yeah, I do. I really enjoy kind of good quality content. I'm into my golf, but I also like the kind of lifestyle, just general chat. And he goes, well, John, I've got the perfect podcast for you. He goes, oh, right, have you? Because I'm really looking for an hour a week, probably on a Tuesday, just to fill an hour. What have you got to recommend? He says, well, actually, I've got two to recommend you. The first one you can't miss is the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. It comes every Tuesday at 4 a.m. UK time, and it's fantastic. It's a mixture of lighthearted, witty banter and golf chat. My second recommendation would be a little bit more serious, but also on a Tuesday, is the Open Podcast.
Have you rehearsed that in the mirror
at home? It's a 10-piece documentary series, original documentaries, tales of trials and tribulations of Open champions or non-champions in some cases. I recommend that as well. That's how it works. Anyway,
John.
Didn't you have a podcast for a while?
Yeah, I did about 8 episodes first lockdown.
Sucked off.
Yeah.
You know what I like?
I'd like to go again, but...
I think I listened to the one with your dad, actually. Was that the first one?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't return after that. I'm joking, it was good.
Back to the hate.
All right. Back to the Nightmare Golf Shot.
We gave you a few compliments. I know. So we've got to balance it back out. Anyway, Nightmare Shot.
It's not that great, this. So,
come on.
Anyway, let's go. There's something about it I like, though, which
tell
is...
You what, have you ever had a Nightmare Shot?
Several.
Have a think, and then we'll hear your story. Yeah. So I don't think we had that this section last time you were on.
No, we didn't. We didn't have any sections there. No,
what was that back in the day?
It was horrendous.
What episode were we on? It was episode two.
And me and Matt shared a mic.
I think we shared a mic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely
upgraded now.
Look at it now. I sat here, the three of us. I'm on a beanbag. You've got a chair with no arms.
And Rick's just sat over there on his throne.
In his pyjamas, on his throne with grapes.
Someone feeding him grapes and caviar. More, please.
Oh, that bag. Of, just, like, oh, fuck, he's only got three Scotty Camerons in the bag.
Peasant.
It's weird, he's got loads of gold plaques as well. He's got one, and he's got loads of more gold plaques.
Bars of gold.
I've just blown your mind that I get our bins cleaned.
You clean your own bin?
There was a noise outside and it was a jet washer and guy, what's that? I went, I think the bin's getting cleaned. What?
It was weird.
They do that round here.
When I went into Rick's then to go to the bathroom very kindly, I took my shoes off when I went in and wiped my feet and stuff. But Rick just bins his shoes and buys more.
Someone carries him in.
Staying humble.
Right. So this really not that good night in my golf shot. Anyway.
People have been digging this up. You can't wait for this.
There's part of it that I like. So when I was living in the UK, I've since moved back to South Africa. I played regularly with a friend at Whitsand Bay down in Cornwall, a proper linksy cliff top course. Now, this friend of mine had been playing golf for about 10 years, but for some reason had never really improved significantly. I think his lowest round was 110, but he never really liked keeping score anyway. His usual line would be, put me down for a friendly nine after a nightmare hole. He often took a break for a few holes to get his head right, but he loved the game. I love that.
Wandered around.
Yeah, just for 3 hours.
On the cliffs.
I do like that. Yeah. I want a couple of holes out.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had an early tea time one morning and followed Rick's advice by not really warming up properly.
I like it.
The only thing is, people follow your advice not warming up, and there's always a nightmare golf story follows. Yeah. It's never a good story. My mate proceeded to pull out his Nike Sasquatch driver, the square yellow one, on the first tee.
His first problem.
And what happened next was epic. He swung well inside the ball and hit it right off the toe at almost a 90 degree angle. His ball and hit the sign had all the hole information on it, your yardage, etc. And it shot backwards towards the starter's hut. I remember the club pro was standing watching us off the tee and he had to jump out the way. The ball then broke a flower pot before taking one final detour towards the car park, hitting the only car that was parked in the whole car park, his own car.
Oh.
I will forever remember this as its most bizarre first tee shot ever. If you think his car was parked at least 50 yards away directly behind us from where he was teeing off. Anyway, hope you guys like it.
Wow.
But so that was all right. But what I love about it is he then did a little drawing for us. So
drawing,
yeah.
Illustration.
If you have a little look at that.
Oh my god!
Where his car was parked.
Is that the exact location?
So he's done a little drawing on like Microsoft Paint.
I thought he was going to do like over Google Earth or something.
No, he's literally drawn it on Microsoft with a toy car, and then everything.
Oh my god! So he's bought. Wow.
If you think about, if that's real, where he has hit the car is absolutely accurate. So I think we'll maybe put that image on the Instagram story because you can see it.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Well, that was all right, wasn't it? Probably bigged up a little bit too much, but we could do with some more good nightmare golf stories. Yeah.
We need some more bad shots.
So email us, podcast@rickshields.com let us know.
I used to be a member at Southport and Ainsdale when I was like growing up, so I was a member at Warrington. And then,
someone was doing well.
Yeah,
Someone's daddy was a pro.
And the first comp of the year, when it was it the Northern Order of Merit? Was that the Mitsubishi thing or whatever it
rings
was called?
Rings a bell.
Yeah, something like that anyway. There was a two-day comp, which was Formby and S&A. Now, if you were a member of S&A and you were off scratch, you got entered into the, I think it was called the bowl or something like that, which was the season opener. So you always had to get your handicap right down for it for the end of the season to get in.
Yeah.
And all your good golfers were there. Not like if you weren't off scratch anyway, you wouldn't get in because the ballot was normally
like Baldwin's.
Yeah, people like that. Yeah, it was like +3 the ballot to get in. Yeah. So I worked me nuts off to get to scratch and did it at the end of the season. So I got my invite into the comp, and then I'm thinking, oh, like this is it, like next season going to be playing the weekend, it's 36 holes each day, starts at S&A, then goes on to the Formby on the Sunday. You know, some I think like guys who are on tour have won it in the past. I'm thinking, like, this is going to be it. So all winter I've grafted, turn up for this the first round at SNA, and if you don't know, the hole's 203 yards, eight bunkers round the green, par three. There's literally, you can land it on a dime to get it on there. It's just it's a horrible opening hole. Great hole, but just daunting.
It's not what you want for a first hole, is it?
No, not at like 6:30 in the morning on a cold March morning. Went onto the range, was hitting it all right. It's not my best, a little bit nervous. Get up onto the first tee, and the car park's on the right, so, you know, thinking, oh God, here we go. Like, wind was a little bit off the right. I'm thinking, perfect. I was hitting a draw at the time. I ended up getting announced on the tee, stand up there, first one, shanked it straight into the car park. I'm thinking, oh, I've grafted for 8 months here. I proceeded to play the whole weekend. I missed, I think, six or seven fairways out of the 72 holes we played, and either shanked or pull hooked every other shot.
Oh my days.
It was disgusting.
Nice.
Yeah. Wasn't fun.
I think the thing is with that, it's like, it's the build up for a moment in your head that's like
expectation.
Such a big deal. It's 8 months of grinding and practicing for this moment that you've, because how old have you been? Like young, older teenager, like 16 or 18 or something?
No, I would have been 21. I didn't start until I was 16.
Oh, yeah. So you're still quite young, really. Where it's like, that's your life, isn't it?
It was like the proper, first proper event I was playing when I got down to, you know, a decent handicap.
You know what's
and
annoying
then
about
piped it.
You know what's annoying about golf? Like, if it was, let's say that was a race,
yeah,
and you'd work for 8 months running every single day, you would run a good race.
Mm.
Pretty much. Like, there's no reason why you should fail. Like, you're not going to trip over the start line.
You
really
would hope not.
Where golf, that's what's so annoying and hard about it. You could try
the mental side,
you could work harder than you've ever worked ever before. That doesn't actually mean guaranteed results.
My dad did that for open qualifying when it, like, the first time he ever got it and hit that many balls, he wore a hole in his thumb and had to like play tape with this massive bandage around it, and ended up shooting like 78, and that was it, done, after getting through to final qualifying.
I always forget you caddied for me when it opened qualifying.
Yeah.
When I got my hole in one.
Yeah.
It's good, that one.
Clubbed you right, yeah. It was.
That one shot was good all
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
The rest of it
wasn't
great.
Just give me the clubs, will you? God damn it.
It was mad, that. The actual 7-iron is just in that bag next to you.
Was it?
The actual 7-iron. The other bag. Oh, no.
It's that five. You hit 5-iron.
It's 7.
Yeah, you did it 7 to be
not that's a Scotty Cameron bag. It's all next to that.
Yeah, not tonight. Not the gold-plated clubs. Move them across.
So, Matt, we said we've kind of gone on a bit here, but how this is one thing that kind of does interest me. Your dad's a pro.
Yeah.
Like we said, he's quite kind of famous, because I remember knowing who your dad was because, like Rick said earlier on, he was in Today's Golfer, and obviously back then there was no kind of YouTube or anything like that. So being on in Today's Golfer on the cover was the pinnacle of like realistic UK golf professional status, wasn't it?
What I wanted to do.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, there was nothing. You couldn't really beat that, could you? Because what was there to do other than be on Sky Sports, possibly? But that was, even then, I don't think that was as much. Didn't even have coaches on as much.
Yeah,
then,
they didn't really have features.
So obviously, your dad was a pro, and I always remember him based at Drive Time Warrington, is when I was. I never had lessons off him, but I remember that was like the place to go if you were good or whatever. So
you are good, you go Drive Time.
Yeah, you see Adrian Fryer. So you were 16, which is, considering your dad was a pro, is very late to get into the game. So did you kind of rebel against playing golf because it was your dad's thing?
No, literally, he joined me at Warrington. We lived right near Warrington Golf Club, like half a mile away down the road. Joined me when I was 10, and I was quite small when I was a kid. I only had a massive like growth spurt when I was 16, so I went to the club when I was 10. Couldn't hit, like, I could hit driver maybe 50 yards tops. Didn't know anybody at the golf club, didn't have any friends there. All my other mates were playing football, all different things. And my dad said, well, you know, if you don't want to play and you don't know anyone, don't feel that you have to go down.
That's good.
You know, it's not that I'm a pro, you have to go and play golf. He was just like, if you don't like it, don't do it. So that was that. I just sort of left my membership there. Then I think it was like a school holidays when I was like just 16 and all my mates knew that my dad run the driving range and everything like that. So, oh, let's go and get some balls and hit some balls there. And I'd go like in between the like from like 10 to 16, I would go to the driving range on a Saturday because it was either go to my nan's house with my three sisters and while my mum and dad went to work, or go and sit at the range and get like burger and chips and play pool, and the lads who worked in the shop would look after me. So that was always the more appealing option.
Those are the days. That kind of stuff is the best days.
Yeah, it was
life,
just class. So, like, literally, my dad would just leave me in the shop there, and they'd just look after me. I would maybe hit like 10 balls, but get bored very quickly. But then that summer holiday, went with a few mates and just picked a club up, and was, I remember there was this 75-yard green, and I had a wedge, and I was just like ding, 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 just knocking it, and I just like caught the bug there. And then I said to my dad, like, join me at the golf club tomorrow. He's like, oh, it doesn't work like that. You need to go for an interview. I was like, no, you're like the man. Get me in now. And that was it, basically. He phoned up the secretary, Neville, at the time. And I was a member the next day, and I went off with a load of my dad's clubs. And that was
it,
really.
Did you buy good gear because he was into it and stuff?
No, I had my first set of clubs was Dunlop. Well, I had a set of his Mizuno Tezoids cut down.
Nice.
And then I had some Dunlop Tadmores. Oh, yeah. And all, like, then I had a few friends who had met for at school, and a couple of like my dad's mates' sons were into golf, so I got to know them, and they all had like Titleist. I'm like, God, my dad's a pro and I've got these Dunlops. What's all this about?
Yeah, you'd expect a pro son to have good clubs, wouldn't you?
I had a 3-ball putter, a Big Max 3-ball putter. The face fell off it. but then, like you said, if you get down, like, I think my first handicap, I got it in like, you did your three cards or whatever it was 22, and I was like disgusted that I was off 22, and all like the lads I knew were off mid-teens. So within a month, I was down to 16.
Nice.
And he said, if you get down to, I think it was like category 2 or something like that, I'll buy you a set of whatever it may be. So I got a set of...
I'm interested to see what you got here, because I'm guessing you would have got them, like, the American Golf, whatever, at Drive Time or whatever.
I think my dad at the time was sponsored by Titleist, so I think I got.
What irons they were?
I think it was DCI 762s. I want to say.
Oh, nice.
No, grey and silver ones.
I remember them.
I had a steelhead little 7-wood.
Awesome golf club.
Yeah.
Was it a normal steelhead, a plus or a 3?
Normal.
The originals.
The original, yeah.
I used to think it was massive. I saw your picture recently.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah. That was, yeah, in my dad's shirt and my beige chinos.
What does your dad think of, like, YouTube and stuff now?
He's very impressed. He always makes me laugh. I'm going to get on there and blow everyone out the water. I'm like, Dad, you're not. You're a dinosaur. Just wind it in. Go back to the magazines, will you? But, he's very impressed with what I've done, what you've done. Rates some of it, obviously, like my dad's a huge studier of the game. You know, anything that comes out, there isn't anything worth knowing about the golf swing that my dad doesn't know, so he thinks that some of it's, very misleading and stuff like that. But a lot of it he's, very impressed by.
Who knows more about the golf swing, you or your dad?
My
hand
dad.
On heart, would you? That's 100% the answer,
yeah.
Straight away,
yeah, like anything.
And has he kept up? Because obviously he's from the, like, I don't want to say the old generation, but compared to us, he is.
He's old as.
Does he use like FlightScope now or TrackMan?
Yeah, he's got TrackMan. During the first lockdown, he did a seminar every night. I think he like notched up like 35 seminars or something that he did.
What, he gave seminars?
No, he did give a couple.
Still got that kind of thirst to learn. And
yeah,
stuff.
He literally was on things every single night about it.
Has he found, this is a bit of a nerdy question, but has he found that, because obviously that we've learned so much about the golf swing now, thanks to TrackMan and GC Quad, etc. Has he found that his coaching principles have changed? Because actually we know things that we might have said years ago, he might have said, aren't actually true. Things like shaping the golf ball and stuff has kind of come a long way. Or has he just, as anything, it's just strengthened what he already said?
Yeah, I think, you evolve as a coach. The physics hasn't changed. You still got to apply the golf club in the same manner. So he's very much, old school and new school mixed together. But just kept learning and learning and learning and just grown his knowledge, really, as he's gone through it.
Does he like the fact that you coach now?
Yeah, loves it. It's quite amusing as well, because I've got quite a few of his students as well, so they're always like, oh, just don't tell your dad that I'm here, and I'll like snap a photo and say, like, too late, mate, and send one off to him, like, oh, God, But yeah, he loves it, and we'll have, sit up talking about golf swings and different, what do you think about this and what about that, and quite cool that instead of him just telling me everything, like, he didn't, to be fair, he didn't coach me till I was 24, 25.
Really?
Yeah.
Has he ever watched one of your videos and said, that's rubbish what you said then? Are you wrong?
No, because generally everything I've learned is from him.
That's
fair. Yeah. If he said it's wrong, you can say, well, you taught me that.
Yeah, you taught me that, idiot. No, you know, he'll be, you know, if there's any advice that I would say on coaching stuff, he'll always always help me out with that thing. But yeah, it's been, I think having a pro sometimes as your dad is a little bit of a downside.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the golf club, it was, oh, well, your dad's a pro, you're expected to play good. Which, if, you know, that was the case, Jack Nicklaus's son would have 24 majors, but it's not. You've got to, you know, golf's the only game that you get out what you put in. You know, you've got to be.
I think that's a good point, because, like, say, I mean, there's probably no sport really where you could get good at it just because of your dad's name or mum's name. But, like, football, for example, if you were Wayne Rooney's son and you're half decent at football, there's a chance he could get you in the Man United under-5s squad or Everton or something because of his name. Mm. But ultimately, you're not going to get become a Premier League player.
There's no DNA for golf or,
well, that's
know,
the thing,
is
like,
it? Oh, it's in your blood. Well,
you have
what
to,
is it?
Sounds obvious, but you have to practice at golf, don't you?
Yeah, that's so the much great to thing master. About it.
I mean, it's almost quite a lot of pressure on, like, Charlie Woods, Tiger's son.
Mm. Like, yeah, I feel for him.
But he's good, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he's good. He is good. It is horrible, though. I remember I used to go to the golf club and I hated it, and, like, personal things with family and stuff at the time, but because of who my dad was, you go to the golf club and everyone's way of greeting me was, hi, Matt, how's your dad? Not, hi, Matt, how are you? And I'd be just like, I used to come up with some horrible answers.
Do you
like, just swear at them, whatever. Really? Like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But
I know we've spoken about it a bit on this podcast, because it's quite interesting. We don't normally speak about it in daily life, obviously, but does it sometimes, do you get annoyed by it? Talking about your dad, or
not anymore? No, you, like, at that point in my life, it did.
Yeah,
because of what, like I say, what was going on.
Well, it's even like mad recently. Like, someone, whether I saw a comment or something, I've shared pictures of like Jude or the girls, and they go, "Oh, they're gonna have a great golf swing." You think, oh, it feels like quite a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
like, are they gonna have a good golf swing? Are they gonna like golf? Are they gonna enjoy it? I mean, luckily they come in here and they come in the home simulator and absolutely love it.
Yeah,
they'll give it 10 minutes and then they suddenly want to watch Blippi on YouTube on the bloody big cinema screen, as they call it. But, like, as long as, for me, they're showing some level of interest, that's all I really care about. And I'll, at the moment, certainly Ivy's my eldest, she's 6. I'm just starting to feed a few little bits of info, just
you're gripping
tiny
it wrong,
just tiny bits. Yeah. I mean, we're on stage 24 of full
of the Rick Shields master plan
golf swing restructure that we're going through at the moment. But, like, just little tiny tidbits. But then you think, I don't want it to lose love for it at all.
No.
That'd be the worst thing in the world. But just slowly going to start making it a little bit more, you know, technical, and just get her moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I think that's why, like I say, with my dad, why it was such a good thing that when I said, I don't want to play golf, he was just like, right, well, don't play it.
Yeah.
You know, just do what you want.
Yeah.
And if you've got that pushy parent, I would have rebelled against it.
I wonder, though, how long it'll be now that you're fast approaching 100,000 subscribers before people start saying, oh, you're Matt Fry's dad. How's Matt doing?
Yeah.
Ooh, the tables have turned. They will.
Who do you think's more famous now?
Me.
In fact, like, I'm going to quickly have a look at how that poll was doing from before. I take it that Matt's still winning. Matt is on 57%. A lot of people don't know what they're talking about, don't they? It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just put a thing on Facebook asking some questions. So obviously while Matt's here as well, it'd be good to get Matt's take on it. Quite a good question here from Ewan. He said, who makes the most underrated irons, wedges, and putters? So maybe not let's do all of them, but who makes the most underrated golf clubs in both of your opinions? And I will judge and see who gives the best answer.
Irons, Wilson.
Yeah, ditto.
Oh.
I think they make the most underrated. I've just got a new set of CBs in, which review will coming out this week. They're bloody awesome, but nobody will ever think about them.
Most major wins as well.
Yeah, you see that stat still, don't you? I mean, it's kind of irrelevant because it was back in the day, wasn't it?
Well,
the last one would have been Harrington's, I think.
2008.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Gary Woodland.
Gary Woodland last year.
Yeah.
Was it last year? Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Because I think that meant they've won a major in every decade for the last like 66 decades. Last six
Before
decades
golf.
Or something stupid. Putters,
most underrated putters. I don't know if there is an
even roll.
Yeah,
they're sort of growing a name now, aren't they? But yeah.
Wedges, not sure. Maybe Mizuno.
Yeah, just maybe got Mizuno. The new ES.
Tested them. Yeah,
class. Reviews spin machine. Out soon.
Literally, I think we say that in the review. Yeah.
I was spinning back like 30-yard pitches. It was ridiculous.
What, back to your feet?
Past my feet. Actually megged myself on one.
Yeah, it's I think you're right with Wilson, to be fair. I think a lot of the underrated, and we're just, again, with Wilson.
What class is underrated?
Well, it's down to marketing, isn't it, really? It's whoever, if a brand is a little bit quieter about the product, which probably Wilson are compared to others, you don't expect to be as good.
Big Ping don't get as much recognition in a way.
No, yeah. I do feel like they've gone a bit quieter. Did you see that? They've signed Bubba
for life.
Life.
Did you see that interview you did recently?
No.
About his mental health and anxiety. He had crippling anxiety. Really? Like, rushed to hospital with
panic attacks and stuff.
Wasn't eating.
He might weirdly do well. It's like, this week, because there's no crowds and stuff.
No crowds. He's had 2 top 10 finishes and he's now sort of found a way to deal with his anxiety that he's actually... becoming a lot
crazy
better.
And as we said before with the Movember thing, if you're struggling with mental health, reach out to people and talk about it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And I told you before, I've had I go through spells of really bad anxiety and stuff, so you know, it's something that you know, if anyone ever wants to reach out to us, feel free. And we'll, you know, I know it's not something we never talk about that much, but it's nothing to be afraid of and stuff. So Elliot, this is a really good question. Elliot George has said, unwritten signs that someone might be a good golfer before you've seen them hit a tee shot, e.g., and I love these, glove in the back pocket.
White belt.
Titleist tour bag, or lead tape on wedges. That's a bit more of an older one, the lead tape on wedges.
I love lead tape.
I used to buy lead tape, like it's going out of fashion, whenever I could find it. Yeah. Put it on my, for no, absolutely, that was a bit loud, sorry, absolutely no reason whatsoever, other than the fact it looked like what the tour pros did.
Yeah.
And this is a time for the internet. I used to love, I think I said this before on a podcast. I remember it's
how
so.
How old are you?
I'm 30, just turned. But yeah, I loved golf when I was 12. So like, literally, what was that? 2002.
Internet about the same age as you.
Internet was out,
golf.
But it wasn't like now. There was obviously the odd website. But I remember going to the newsagents every month on like the day when Golf
to buy
World.
A copy of my dad.
Yeah, Golf World and Today's Golfer. The downside to Today's Golfer, in my opinion, was more instruction than
there
equipment.
Was an Adrian Fryer
was
in it.
Too yeah. much.
I always loved. The, yeah. I always loved the pages of what's in the bag.
Yeah.
So it'd be like a random Adam
Up and
Scott
coming. Yeah.
Adam Scott would be someone you've not really heard of, and he'd be like, "This is my driver. I've got this shaft in it. I have this ball. I carry these mad little things." And then it'd be like lead tape on the wedges. So I just always wanted to use lead tape.
Yeah. I never got into lead tape.
Oh, I was really into lead tape.
Serious into it. other things like sign X, like X flex in the shaft. Ooh, like he must be quick.
Is this before they've teed off?
Yeah,
you can see their equipment.
Well, just a sign that, like,
Well, tell you what, the wear mark on the irons when you see like that, you always know that you've got a player.
In a weird way, you can always tell by just the way they dress.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, carry themselves around the putting
green. How comfortable they are in the golf environment.
You know another one? Even how they physically mark, I don't mean mark up on the green, I mean mark, say someone's on the tee waiting to tee off and they're just putting a dot on the ball on the Pro V or something, like a face. Even the way they do that weird, the way they take the lid off the Sharpie.
I tell you what's a telltale sign, just how they walk with the bag.
Yeah.
Like if you had 10 golfers line up and they were walking towards you, I honestly think you could categorize which one's the best player in that group and the worst player just by the way they carry it. Mm. They've got a little pencil over the shoulder. They're kind of hugging the bottom end of it, hugging the top with a massive towel.
Yeah.
They're the best golfer.
Yeah.
The guy who's got the bag that's far too long, a strap that's bounced on its ass, and
with iron covers,
with irons and wedges at the top of the bag. And drivers at the bottom.
I hate that.
That's another one. Just how they are.
How the clubs are organized. Yeah, I rearrange my lessons clubs if they walk in. Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
I do.
Do you have any like when you play, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Weird question, I know. But what's in your pockets? Because for me,
left side ball marker tees on the right. Glove has to go in the back right.
Yeah. So okay. Like glove back right for me. Right hand side, I like a ball marker.
Left for me, though.
And I do like quite a lot of tees.
Yeah, I've
about obviously that wears down and after
10-11 probably.
Yeah, I like a lot of tees.
Yeah,
I have no blueprint to what's in my pockets.
Never ever. It's like my phone can never go in my left pocket.
That's in the back. I don't have phone back, in pocket well, in the golf
pocket.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
my phone can be in my back pocket.
General
after
life.
That, I'm easy. I don't like a lot of things in my pocket. I never ever ever that's another telltale sign for a crap golfer. They carry a ball in the pocket, like a spare ball. In it.
Is that a thing?
Like, you should never carry a ball in your pocket.
That's what your bag's for. Well, the worst one, that similar thing to that, the worst one, you know, you have some holes like a par four or a par five. Where you leave,
and they go to a,
you leave your bag and you walk back. You walk to the tee with your driver, and they bring an extra ball ready.
Yeah. It's like
a change down to like, I'm not using my Pro V. I'm going to get my top flight out. There's a bit of water here.
You might as well just pick that first ball and just throw it in the bush, and then start with the second.
You know
one.
What weird superstition I have actually speaking of that when you walk back. You know, again, sometimes you walk up a green and the tee might be like 50 yards back, but you leave your bag there and you walk to the tee. I never look at the fairway from the point I'm at because I know that then by the time I look at it again from where I'm going to, it'll look a lot further.
Yeah, it'll look smaller.
Yeah, do you get what I mean? Yeah, so I purposely don't do it.
Yeah.
And at that point,
good chat.
Yeah,
I don't. Yeah, bar that, I don't really have any.
Yeah,
I very, very rarely have superstitions. I feel like I used to definitely growing up, but I don't anymore. I reckon if I played every Saturday in a proper, like if I played every Wednesday and Saturday, I'd end up getting superstitions.
It's
again.
Just habit, isn't it?
Yeah, you think, oh, that must have worked.
Yeah,
the way I put my ball marker on the green must have helped me hold that putt or whatever. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I've got a question I want to ask you, but I want you to see it first. If you don't want to answer it, I'll understand.
Well, I think it could be done quite controversial.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it could be done quite well because I know your kind of answer to it.
All right, lads, it's about time you answer.
Shh. It's up to you.
You can't beat around the bush.
Rick's reading it now. I don't know.
Keep the mic still.
I don't. That's my turn, not me. Just so everyone knows, Rick's not telling me if it doesn't matter. You want to do it or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, can I read it out then if you've not seen it?
Of course you can.
Right, so, Rick, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
It's quite a controversial one. Matt doesn't know what it is yet. It's maybe not one... Well, yeah, maybe Matt can have a say on it, but I don't want it to sound like it's a ganging up thing, so it's just a straight-up question. It's from Joshua Atkinson.
He's starting the beef.
He started the beef, but what I also like is underneath his email, he's written his name, Joshua, and then he's put underneath almost like, almost like a signature, an email, he's put fifth year viewer. So it's like to say, I'm not a newbie around these here parts. I know the deal. I know Rick Shields' video when I see one. I've hit like and subscribe many a time. Well, hopefully not subscribe many a time, because that would imply he's unsubscribed. So the question is, and this may even be potentially the title of the podcast. So if it is, and you've waited an hour and 17 to get to it, call us the Clickbait Kings. The title of the email is Controversial Question for the Show. And I said, Rick hasn't seen this until just now. All right, lads, it's about time we answer the question we all want answered. It needs to be done. We can't beat around the bush anymore. We've got to stop dilly-dallying around. The time is now. Matt's getting... Because Matt doesn't know what this is. Matt is frothing at the
Come
mouth.
On.
I know what this is, and it sounds more dramatic. You reading it?
Long pause. What is the beef with Mark Crossfield? It has been years, and we haven't heard answers with no insight. So before Rick answers this, he's going to have a little minute just to articulate himself. I just want to kind of play... The devil's advocate, and just and without being silly, people, I'm sure a lot of people listening know fully who Mark Crossfield is.
Who is he?
But anybody that doesn't know who Mark Crossfield is, I'm gonna play devil's advocate and be kind of quite praising to some degree. So Mark Crossfield is a golf professional. I'm not actually sure if he's a PGA golf professional anymore, but he certainly was, and he is seen by many, and kind of rightly so, as one of the YouTube golf creator kind of pioneers. So he has been on YouTube creating golf content, coaching content, and reviews for possibly the longest out of anybody, I think. Yep. Certainly the most consistent in terms of uploads and length of time uploads. So I think if you look on his channel, he's probably been uploading for 10 years now, if not more.
10 plus years.
Is that how long it is?
Yeah, and he's uploaded a lot.
He has probably treble what we ever have, if not more, I'd say. A lot of videos. And he built up, and again, kind of rightly so, a very kind of loyal following for his reviews and coaching tips, etc. And probably 3 or 4 years into his YouTube life, you're like, that's when obviously a young Rick Shields came onto the scene. And I'm sure Rick will kind of agree that you kind of somewhat looked up to him as he was doing really well. He had obviously probably 100,000 subscribers at the time and you had zero or whatever, let's just say. It was a big difference. And obviously in recent years, there's been some speculation, certainly since I've worked for you in the last 3 or 4 years, that you two don't get on or there's some kind of secret beef there. So this is your time, Rick, to squash this, well, maybe not squash, to squash this rumour or add fuel to the fire. The floor's all yours.
Rick. Yeah, I think there is beef.
Oh, mic drop, walk out.
Well, I think I've talked about this before anyway.
Give us 10 minutes, then we can clickbait the podcast.
We've never, I don't think we've ever got on. I've met him a couple of times in passing. There's a weird, like, is the right word? Is animosity the right word?
Yes.
It's the right word. I don't know if it's in the right
context.
No. I want to kind of stay on the fence more to make it almost work better, this. Because I don't want this to be like...
You want
to
spice it up a little bit more.
No, because obviously, on a serious note, I'm thinking of obviously of Rick as well. And the last thing I want to do is you to kind of come across looking a bad guy or salt or anything, because that's not what you are or who you are.
So you've rightly said at the very start, without question, one of the reasons why I started YouTube was Mark Crossfield. Mm-hmm. So he was making videos. He was absolutely, you know, probably the only person on YouTube.
This is such a good Twitter clip.
He was the only person on YouTube making content. Then came me and my golf, probably quite soon after, if I'm honest.
Yeah, they were about like year and a half, weren't they?
And then there was one other guy. I mentioned his name recently.
The guy from Snaydon.
Yeah, Matthew... Oh, God, what was his surname? Matthew O'Connor.
Yeah.
Matthew O'Connor was making... So when I first started, there was probably three channels. Crossfield, me and my golf, Matthew O'Connor. And I kind of came on and thought, well, you know what? I fancy a bit of this. And like we said about Matt, I'll use it as a business card to become a busy golf coach. And there was a little bit of a kind of a blueprint, so to speak. But I wanted to put my own mark on it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Whether Crossfield saw it as competition, whether it was seen as some sort of copycatting, which I'm sure he has accused me of before, I did want to come and make my own content. And then, I'll be honest, I reached out to him many times, do collaborations, do videos together with no success at all. And then over time, I would just say, certainly in the last few years, I've not particularly brought it up. There's been a lot of hidden digs and stuff on Twitter and on even on his YouTube videos as well. And it's like, it doesn't need to be like this. He snubbed my YouTube golf day before even knowing the date.
I remember you emailed him.
Busy.
So I emailed Crossfield because, again, it was YouTube golf day where everyone's getting involved. I felt like, you know, I could bring everyone together and it could be, you know, great to actually bring the South up. And whether that's a bit of a thing, whether it's a South or North divide, I don't know. I emailed him and said, listen, Mark, love you to attend the day. It's for a charity day. I've not set a date yet. Love you to get involved. And he just flatlined and said, no, I don't want to get involved.
Again, kind of semi playing devil's advocate, and this isn't kind of justifying anything, but he may feel that he was one of the first creators to come onto the scene and kind of rightly so had a really strong following. And I remember it was the summer of 2017, you overtook him in subscribers. It was about the Open, wasn't it, 2017? Yeah. And that's when you then became, still not the number one, because me and my golfer at the time, you kind of overtook him in terms of subscribers and certainly in views. You were outdoing him in views kind of a long time before that. It's just that subscribers takes a little while after that to catch up. So I can kind of semi-understand why, from a personal... Because I get like this a little bit with things. I could understand why you're a little bit personally a bit peed off. Because it's like, God, I want to be... We all want to be number one at what we do, don't we? Because you'll be doing what you're doing, or you wouldn't be very good at what you're doing. So, well, it's like if we went out and played golf. I'm not that bothered. If I went out and played with Matt and wanted to beat you and you beat me, I would be a bit annoyed. It's different, obviously. But it's just how we are, aren't we, if we're competitive. But I think there's two things, really. The first thing is, and I'm sure, I imagine he understands this, is you're speaking to very different audiences. Yeah. So although there will be a crossover, and there's probably people listening to this who love both channels, and kind of rightly so, but his audience typically, or his content, is steering towards an audience that are very, love, I don't want to say love golf, because our audience love golf, but like the more detailed, the very kind of serious, and it's a lot more longer form videos, where there's a lot more kind of in jokes, and your videos are aimed at a wider... I almost think our videos are aimed at people. So when the tennis is on, the Wimbledon's on, and that month after everyone goes out...
Wimbledon.
The Wimbledon tournament, that tournament in Wimbledon. Where that month after, every man and his dog goes out and buys a tennis racket from Sports Direct because they've got a bit inspired and then might watch a few videos. That's sometimes who we're speaking to in a golf sense, aren't we? So it's people that kind of like golf a bit, I just think hardcore golfers as well.
I just think we cracked YouTube more. I think we became YouTubers rather than a golf pro trying to make videos. I'm a YouTuber that's a golf pro.
where he's a golf pro that happens to just make his videos on YouTube.
Well, if you watch some of his videos, and I still do keep an eye on them, he's a very knowledgeable bloke, but you would not sit through one of his videos if you are literally been the driving range twice.
No.
He knows that as well. That's fine, because he wouldn't be talking about dynamic loft and about strokes gained if you're trying to target that person. Whereas our videos, where you're playing golf with tall Paul who's 7'7", smashing it or something like that, or a young 7-year-old kid, that can be watched by anybody, which is reflected in the viewing figures.
I think there's enough room for lots of creators.
Correct.
I'm not sure he thinks the same.
Well, this is the one coming on to now. This is where he's kind of stung himself a little bit, because we've done a lot of videos. We kind of pioneered, if you like, these kind of gimmicky clubs, because we found a market for it where people like watching clubs, reviews of golf clubs that are essentially gimmicks or illegal. And the views we've had off the back of it are phenomenal, ridiculous. And now off the back of that, we've had other creators kind of follow suit, which is fine, because if you see something that's working in the industry you're in, you're going to kind of copy. He then had this bit of a dig about playing golf with a smoked salmon, which is essentially saying that people are watching videos that are stupid. But our audience enjoys it. Hence why they often get the trending page on YouTube. They sometimes get in the millions of views. The like-to-dislike ratio is 98%. His audience wouldn't watch that, but that's fine, because it's different, isn't it?
There's plenty of room for lots of different creators. I've always been a big fan of collaborating with other creators. If you look across the channel, I mean, even just look at our group of friends, like you, Matt, Pete, Carter, like Liam Golf Mates, I give loads of advice to. I'm trying to think of other
SAS.
People. Like SAS. And you just look at the YouTube Golf Day.
Yeah, like, that was class.
How many people came to that day? And the whole idea was to unite YouTubers together to show the actual mainstream media that look at what these YouTubers can do. They can put on this amazing day and get millions of views. And the plan was to bring everyone involved. Unfortunately, again, he just wanted to separate himself from that, and I'm not sure why. I do think there is beef. I think it's lasted for a long time. I don't think it's ever going to go away, personally, if I'm honest. I don't know how it would go away. I'm not asked about making videos with him anymore. I don't want to make videos with him, I've got to be honest. Mm. I'd actually quite like him as a guest on the podcast.
Oh.
Come on down.
But I think, like, we do make different style of videos, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... Yeah. There's enough people, and that's okay. I know what lane I sit in. I know what content I like to make. It works on YouTube without question.
Yeah.
And I know it's not suited to absolutely everybody, but as a wide range, the variety is vast,
mm-hmm.
where maybe his style isn't as much, and he's all right with that.
That was really good. So we'll see Matt this time next year, shall we? His second birthday.
Do you like him, Matt? I just don't want to come out as the bad guy.
I do watch some of his stuff. It's interesting for the golfer, but I agree with what you're saying there. It is very particular to your nerdy golfer, as it were, you know, someone who really likes to get down and deep into the detail and likes, you know, knowing about shafts and understanding, you know,
the playing and all that.
Yeah, loads of different things as well, you know, from your guys' standpoint. It is very mass market, isn't it? And which is great. There's no one, you know, you didn't sign a contract when you got onto YouTube to say, oh, you're in golf, right? That is all you can do. And you can only, you know, get golfers to watch your stuff if it's that you've got 10 more people into golf, 100, or you've kept, you know, you've educated someone who likes that deep stuff. Just do what you do and keep doing it. And, you know, if... There's, like you say, there's more than enough space. You look at, like, imagine if there was like the makeup art, how many of them are on YouTube? If everyone had a bit of beef because a new makeup artist came about the scene, so what? There's, you know, it's the internet, it's endless. Just
I think you're
make
right.
content, be happy.
And I think, although, like you said, there is beef, it's not what people probably think. There's not like something that's happened as such where you two have had
there that fighting.
It's not like there's been something where you're just not friends and it's really exciting. It's just the fact that I don't think he massively likes what we do for some reason. And I don't know, it's just kind of, like you said, it's just... I think also as well, although it's good to collaborate with other people, like I said, the YouTube Golf Day is amazing. Just because the two blokes both make golf content doesn't mean you ever have to collaborate. No. Like, why would you? Like,
and again, 100% back in the day, I would have done. I remember seeing him collaborating with like me and my golf, and he's done collaborations with other people. He just never would do one with me. So it's like, you know, whatever. I've got my little clique. We're doing all right for ourselves.
Yeah.
So the plan is for you to overtake him next, Matt. That's our next mission. Look at that. I'm just fueling this bloody fire. Right, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you got this far, you got some beef, you got some exclusive. Thanks, Matt, for being on the show.
Pleasure.
You're actually quite good.
Oh, thanks, mate.
When guys suggested, I was like, not sure about that.
Not that idiot again.
I'm not sure about him. Does he talk? But no, you did well. Congratulations on your soon-to-be 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah, I think everyone should go. If you don't already subscribe to Matt, just go and do it now and get into 100K.
Once he's gone past 100K, you can unsubscribe again. But just getting past that 100K, it'd be so funny. Imagine if you got 100K, you got your plaque, everyone unsubscribed.
Got my plaque,
got your plaque again.
Done.
Thank you. Anything you want to plug?
No.
Anything you want to ask me?
No.
Anything you want to ask Guy?
Why don't you like Mark Crossfield?
Got onto that.
No, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Why do you not like Pete Finch?
Well, that's next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And we shall see you all very, very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.